Hello, everyone, and welcome to the latest technology spotlight on KnowledgeCast. I'm Joe Hilger, co-founder and COO of Enterprise Knowledge. And as you know, KnowledgeCast is our podcast talking about knowledge management, data management, and really everything in between. These sections of KnowledgeCast are our technology spotlights. During the technology spotlights, we talk about product-centric solutions that help solve today's hardest KM problems. And along those lines, today I'm speaking with Doug Kimble, Chief Marketing Officer of Ontotex, the makers of GraphDB. GraphDB is an industry-leading semantic graph database. Doug, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Joe. I'm glad to be on here and looking forward to some good back and forth conversation.
Absolutely. And I think we're going to do two things here. Tell us about Ontotex, but for a lot of our listeners, they're going to have to learn about semantic graph databases as well, how they work, where they fit. It is not a new technology to us, but it is new to many of the people we talk to. So let's get started. Tell us a bit about Ontotex and semantic knowledge graphs. What's the brief elevator pitch?
Let me give the elevator pitch first so that people understand what they're about to hear about from the company standpoint. But when you look at a semantic knowledge graph, or just a graph, knowledge graph, it's considered a very powerful tool that really helps to organize and represent and share information in a structured fashion. And it's all really about connecting concepts through relationships. A knowledge graph, it's an information powerhouse that makes data more understandable, more accessible. Imagine a world where you've got lightning fast searches, or you've got insights easily available being added to your knowledge. You're bringing diverse data sources together seamlessly. That's what it's really about. It's about unlocking, not just about information, but it's unlocking information, having shared understanding, enhanced decision-making, and really empowering intelligent systems. I'll just say Gen AI, and that should get most of the conversation going right there. But empowering those kinds of intelligent systems, that's the impact of a semantic knowledge graph. And so that's really truly what Ontotex is focused on, is delivering what's called a semantic knowledge graph. And we've been doing this for just over 20 years, variety of industries focusing on healthcare, life sciences, financial services, banking, automotive, manufacturing, dabbling in retail. So as I've said in many forums, if you have data, you have data problems, and you have knowledge management problems, knowledge graphs are a huge piece of solving that.
You know, there was a few words I want to call out here. You talked about interconnectedness. You know, we always think of information silos in knowledge management. And often we think of that as different departments don't speak to each other, but different systems don't speak to each other either. And, you know, GraphDB is a database, but I use that term lightly because in a way, a lot of people think of a database as a place to dump information and query it. In a way, you all are the interconnection, the map that ties everything together and provides context so people can find what they need, right?
To me, that map is a good analogy. I like that. Graph technologies are designed purely to capture and model and organize those complex relationships that are out there, all those dependencies that exist in real-world data, whether it's, you know, those data silos you're talking about, you got your CRM system, you got your supply chain system, you got your order management systems, you know, product information, all those different things, areas, systems are data silos by themselves. And businesses by nature have data silos. Having a data silo, we always say it's bad. It's not bad unless you don't share the data, unless you can't get the answers from the data. And that's where graph databases really allow that more efficient querying and connections of relationships, making it easier to get those insights. So, you know, we have this reflex, silo's bad. Yes, silo's not helpful, but they're going to exist no matter what. What a graph database does is, and I'm oversimplifying, but I can overlay that so that you can now bring in these data sets together, these large data sets, and connect those to get those insights.
Yeah, I met with a couple CIOs on our projects, and I said, today you do a lot of point-to-point integration. What if you could map what everything was to your key business entities? You know, if you're a retail store, to your products, to your stores, to your vendors, to your people, and see how that all connects and pull data from all the different locations and tie it together. I've heard the term digital twins used. You want to talk a little bit about that and how that ties into all of this and what I'm speaking to?
Love to, because it's a topic I've been passionate about for more than a few years. But I mean, digital twins, probably most people think of digital twin as something that you use in manufacturing. And for sure, it's definitely used quite a lot there. whether it is a digital twin of an engine or parts or building manufacturing systems, you name it. There's a lot of ways you can look at a digital twin, but essentially a digital twin is a virtual representation of a physical object being supplied by and interconnected with data, whether it be sensor data and or other pieces of data being brought together. So you have a virtual representation that you can then do testing, experiments on, all those different things without having to go and break something or run physical tests and costly tests. That's one example of a digital twin. But having just come from the retail conference I was at recently, digital twins are also being talked a lot about from people. So as you're creating these shopping experiences, and you talked about product information, how do we model a ideal shopper? And there's so many different kinds of personas in these ideal shoppers. How do we model that ideal shopper? A digital twin is one of those ways to do that. And you can bring in firmographic data, demographic data, purchase intent, hobbies, all these different data points to get in there and make a digital twin of a person to optimize your advertising spend, your purchasing plans, your supply chain replenishment plans, all those different things go in there and do it in a fashion that is digital and effective. And to your point of data silos, you're actually pulling from different data sources and sharing those insights. So now it's critical where you've got companies that need to, diverse technologies need to communicate and exchange information to solve a problem.
I love the customer example. It used to be the promise of customer 360, where they'd say, we have everything about a person. The reality is a lot of organizations tried to solve that by putting everything in one system. And what you're saying is in the graph, I've got a person and some of the data about that person is in the CRM. By the way, some of the data about that person is potentially in public domain that we can pull from. And some of that data might also be in some of the transactions in the financial systems that we do, their purchase and buying habits. And as opposed to building a complex ETL process to tie it all together, right, or some big processing thing, what you're saying is I can map them and then I can show you that person in one place repeatedly over and over, even though the information about them is everywhere.
Extend that a bit to a part of data that people don't always think about, but probably 85% of the companies that are out there are stuck with it, is unstructured data. So you've got all this, live data, you talk about transaction data, that sort of thing. But there's also tons of unstructured data that is available out there that is information that might be relevant. But if you can't bring your structured and your unstructured together, if you can't mine all that knowledge that's out there, how do you get a really good representation of that person? How do you manage it and reuse it? And this is where, again, using that unstructured data helps to build a knowledge base that can evolve over time. And it retains that integrity that's so important to make sure that I'm not advertising something to Joe that Joe wasn't interested in 5 years ago, wasn't interested 10 years ago.
I'm so glad you said that. That was really the flashpoint for me years ago when we first started to learn this. I remember we would talk about getting people the right information at the right time to make the right decisions. And it always bothered me that you had this huge library of information in content management systems and SharePoint, et cetera, that was documents. And then a different group altogether managed all the structured data. And everyone said, oh, this is fine. And I think they said that because there wasn't a tool to put it together. And now we have graphs that can say, okay, this document mentions this product of ours 6 different times and has other relations to it. So I understand how this product relates to other things through this document. And oh, by the way, that same node in my graph of that product points to the product in the PIM, Product Information Management System, and wherever else I have it. So now all of a sudden, I can get that single view of that product and see it without having to try to merge them together, and I can do it with structured and unstructured. To me, this is the problem we've always been trying to solve in knowledge management.
Yeah. You mentioned PIM vendors. I come from the PIM and MDM space, so a little bit of a passion there, especially when I was talking to some of the PIM providers at this retail conference, and a couple of them got it when I talked about the power of graph technologies. One of the product guys was nodding his head, and we'll talk soon. The other one's, we've got MongoDB and we've got everything all organized. I'm like, oh, that's great that you've got MongoDB. It's a great database, plenty of power there. But I was asking questions about, do you truly get, the contextual understanding of what this data can do? Can you connect all those pieces there? Do you have that ability to do that enhanced search and discovery because of these additional relationships you can do with graph? And I wasn't picking at Mongo, but I'm just going to get them to think about as you continue to expand. And I brought up the topic of, I don't want to go too far into another path, but digital product passports. As a PIM provider, as a retailer, needs to plan for expansion, whether they're in the EU or not. They've got to be thinking about these additional attributes being brought in and changing things. I said, you can't make those kinds of connections effectively in a relational database. So I personally think the PIM space is ripe for graph technology. Obviously, I'm biased, but I think there's a lot of expansion and relationship integrities that can be better managed using graph technology.
Yeah, it's a classic place tying things together. Why not stitch it together? PIM is a great source of information. And it's funny you said that. MongoDB has a great purpose. So does a relational database. So does a graph database. And an RDF graph database does not need to hold all your transactional data. Frankly, I don't think that's of great value. Relational databases are very good at that. But gee, when I want to aggregate them, when I want to relate things to one another, as weird as it is to say that, the graph database just simply does it better. It is about saying, how does X relate to Y?
Right. How does X relate to Y and to Z? Where you can now, that's one of the things from the resource description framework, RDF, which OddTheText focuses on, is that pure RDF-centric approach allows you to make the connection. So now we've got, Joe and Doug are talking. Joe is in enterprise knowledge, Doug in OddTheText. It can start to make those inferences between those and connect dots that weren't there before. And so that's why it's not just X and Y, it's X and Y and Z and X and Z and maybe X and sub A, because the database is smart enough to say, hey, these things look like they've got connections. And I've overused the term bonus data. You talk about dumping your data in the database, which we know is a oversimplification. But as you do put that in there and you layer your ontologies on top of that, and it gives it more education, the system is smart enough to say these things may exist that you're not aware of, which again goes back to that ability to get more insights out of your data, which is why I'm going to use the term bonus data until somebody slaps my hands.
I like it. I've not heard that. Bonus data it is. So we've had a good discussion about how graph databases help, where they fit. We've talked about chief data officers needing this, CIOs needing this. Who in our clients' organizations should be looking at these solutions? I don't know that it's IT. I think IT is a piece of it, but it's often driven by others. What are you seeing from OddTheText's standpoint?
All over the board. So just recently I had a call with our sales team going through some discussions around, what kind of messaging is resonating out there, use cases are happening. One of the questions we also asked was, what are some of the common job titles that you're talking to as part of this? And I've got a list of 20. And some of them are ones I've been around for a couple of years. I've never heard a couple of these titles. So I'm like, well, that's interesting. Some of the common ones, IT, data architects, ontologists, taxonomists, et cetera. But there were some that were much more business unit focused, where business users aren't going to use graph technology per se. They're going to say, here's the use case that helps us to get where we solve the problem using graph technology. Best example was a client call I was on just recently, and we kept pressing them to ask the question, what exactly is your use case? Because they were asking very, very technical questions, which was fine. What is your use case? And more or less, and I'm paraphrasing somewhat, but it's true, more or less, they were told, we need to get on this Gen AI activity and do something with a chatbot. Honestly, I'm not making this up. And it is one of the largest logistics providers in the world. I'll just leave it there. And so we kept trying to circle back. Okay, great. That's great. We play in the LM space, blah, blah, blah. And these were very architect focused, but they really couldn't tell us the business reason other than go do Gen AI. But I want to know what the use case is or use cases that we're trying to solve for, because there might be multiple. So when it comes to titles, we run into a lot. We're trying to elevate it often to the business level, because those are the ones that say, here's why we're trying to do better with our data. And this is where we have to help them educate. For this use case, graph technology will make your life so much better.
At the end of the day, we've started calling it the semantic layer. And it's that layer that maps and categorizes information so that you can do any number of things with it, enhanced search, chatbots, et cetera. And so really, if you had a way to break down those barriers, to reorganize your information on the fly, it makes more sense. If you're head of marketing, you have a better view of the people you're working with. If you're an executive that wants to know about your business performance, you need it. If you're in sales and want to know what's happening with clients and relationships, you need it. If you're in operations, you want to know about supply chain, et cetera, you need it. So ultimately, and this is kind of the classic, I think, model, is technologies are new. It's coming from IT, as they're the ones translating the needs. But the better job we do at what you're doing right now of explaining this, the more we're going to see business users go, I need a semantic layer.
Right.
And
right.
That's my answer.
Yeah, got it. And it was funny. Until I came here, I honestly didn't think much about semantics as applied to all these things until I realized that we can do all this wonderful data work that we do, but if you and I don't agree on what a specific term means, or if we've got multiple entries of the same thing with different names to establish to it, and we don't have agreement, then how do we understand that? How do we have the ability to communicate most effectively? And if we take you and I out of the equation, if we just, you know, have our machines go against us, how do our machines know to read this data and get insights without those semantics? So, and I'm glad, I mean, I think the semantic layer that you're talking about makes a great deal of sense, because it is. It's applying the ability to have agreed, shared understanding of what that thing means to the two of us, or the two businesses, or the two systems, or whatever it's going to be that's tied into it.
So for those out there, if you're hearing the term data fabric, semantic layer, or context layer, you should be talking to Doug here and asking him for more guidance. So now we can't get away with not talking about Gen AI. And the semantic layer and graph databases being a big piece of the semantic layer are critical to any level of success in starting to work with LLMs. And I'm assuming this is where we dive into what we call RAGs, right? Doug, you want to tell us a little bit about how OntoTex helps organizations that say, I'm going to do Gen AI, be successful at it?
Right. One of the things we always talk about is, you know, Gen AI, LLMs, all a great idea and very, very powerful. But we have to come back to, what data do you want your large language model, your focused language model? I thought it was interesting. What do you want that information to be trained on? Where is that data coming from? And if you, going back to, again, not to over hit the semantics piece, but if you don't have a good semantic layer of your data being organized, your language model, it's going to be giving you back a faster response of bad information. So that's where looking at, you know, retrieval augmented systems or data being, you know, vectorized to be categorized for fast and easy search is important. But you also have to have that shared understanding of the terms and relationships so that data is good, that you're not just bringing in, like I said, bad answers faster. Whether it's using it to support LLMs or machine learning or augmenting AI, having that ability to make those connections within that data, ensure that the connections are validated and understood and accurate for your particular business, is a big piece of what the graph technology does. One of the things we're offering, we're calling it talk to your graph. So I'm using that kind of natural language processing to say, I've got questions. And instead of having to try to think and use a higher priced engineer to query the data, ask it basic questions. You know, how do I find the most recent shipment from this particular distribution center and who it went to? Think about that. That question itself has several layers of questions. And that's one of the powers, again, with the graph supporting LLMs and the generative AI, is you can do not only natural language query, but I'm going to call it higher level query.
Two parts to this. The first that you just talked about is the idea of understanding what a thing is. Questions have entities or things mentioned there. They can be phrased in different ways. They're synonyms, etc. A graph database and a semantic layer will let you say, all these words mean X. And X means this to the enterprise. That's that digital twin story you talked about. So getting a consistent view of what that thing is helps the system to be smarter. But then there's another piece to it. And I've always wanted to kind of call this out. All the industry people go, oh, you don't want hallucinations. And I feel like that's never properly described. So for our listeners, Doug, I'm going to take a cut at it and I'm hoping you can add to it. To me, imagine you've got a computer that's reading through millions of pieces of information and it's going, oh, I understand this, I understand this. And that information changes over time, right? Or let's say it's reading through the information within your organization. How many documents do we all have that are old and no longer valid? I actually looked at a process document that we had that was written a year ago, and it talks about a system we no longer use. If my LLM read that document, that would be its answer. And someone would then say, oh, that's a hallucination. Well, yeah, no, what it is I gave bad information in because it's old, and I didn't have any layer in between to make sure that it said, this is the good stuff. When I'm asking this question, this is what it means. This is what that thing is that I'm asking, and this is where to go to find it. And to me, understanding what a hallucination is makes it really clear why you want this layer, and understanding the importance of the machine understanding what the question is, right, also kind of ties that out. What would you add?
I'll add a real life example. disclaimer, I use ChatGPT. It's very helpful to help me. I use it for brainstorming. And just I was writing an article and I'm like, okay, I want to take a different look at this article. So I was putting it together. And so I plopped it into ChatGPT. Take a look at articles that Doug Kimball has written for Onto Text. I used to work for Stevo Systems. I did a lot of writing. And rewrite this article in his style. So I kind of wanted to see what it would do by going through and looking at, you know, the corpora of stuff that I've written. Oh my God, it was awful. Either I suck as a writer, which is possible. It made it so fluffy. And again, I'm marketing. I know I'm a little fluffy. But I'm reading through this. I'm like, okay, I know I don't talk or write like that. But it did do a very interesting job. I will never use that. It's not usable. I look at that as a form of hallucination. I have a certain writing style. I know this. It was not in my style at all. And so I gave it specific instructions and looked at a specific body of knowledge. And it came back with not something that was wrong, but certainly wasn't right.
Thank you. That's a wonderful example. Great. You know, we've talked a lot about semantics, et cetera. I always ask this of every vendor that comes on. GraphDB is one of the leading RDF databases, if not the leading RDF graph database out there. What makes you better than your competitors? This is your chance to brag for a minute. You've done a lot of education here, which is the right thing to do. But what makes you better?
I always have a challenge with that differentiation question, not because I don't think we're better, but because it's always easy to poke at things. But I will focus on some things I think that are key. We are extremely scalable. And that's one of the questions, again, that came up on this client call I was mentioning recently. And that was one of the things they led with was, you know, how scalable are you? Very, very large company, global. That ability to be scalable is a differentiation factor for us. We've got certified tests that show that. We can scale to billions of triples, which is those connection points. And scalability, while it may sound boring and techie, is very important because, again, if we talk about the power of knowledge graphs being something you can, to your point, dump a lot of information in there and it grows, you want to be able to scale that as your organization says, hey, I need to use the knowledge graph for this or for that. So instead of having to build multiple knowledge graphs, you have one that does all these things and can scale. So that's a big piece of that. The semantic search and text analytics is another area I would go to as a feature. Can we talk about semantics already? We were founded based on the ability to do text analytics and text understanding. And so extracting that structured information from all the unstructured text and data that's out there is a big differentiator because now you can get meaning from all those different diverse data sources are out there. I think it's another big one. And ontology, you know, we could talk about ontologies, maybe not as interesting in some people, but sometimes you say ontologies and people push back. But if you got to, you know, make sure that you're creating and maintaining and evolving those ontologies as the knowledge representation increases, that's another thing that's very critical. So that's a piece I think I would probably end with talking about using linked data principles. So making sure that you're connecting all these diverse data sets. Again, going back to, you know, earlier in the conversation, talk about the fact that taking away those silos is very important. Applications that need to bring together multiple data sources to get that comprehensive and interconnected knowledge and knowledge graph. You mentioned data fabric, data mesh, all those, you know, data connectivity initiatives. That's a huge place that we play. We've got a couple of very good client case studies where we're, you know, they've seen us as being kind of the de facto data source for what they do for their decision making. So those are just some of the things I think that differentiate us. That and we're fun.
Let me reinforce that because we've been in the graph space for over 8 years now. Not as long as you all, but we've worked with OntoText and GraphDB for just about that long. And things our developers and architects tell me they like is it does scale. We've done massive projects and OntoText has held up. This isn't just your marketing person saying this. This is from someone whose team has to build it. That says this is a tool that does that for us.
Yeah, and I don't want to diminish that because we are a great database system. Just we'll make the short version of that. And I'm not just saying that because you're here, but we can't do a lot of the things that we do without our partners. And so you guys have been great about that as well. So again, truly mean that because you know, we have an ecosystem of partners. Obviously, you know that. But having partners like you guys who validate that and aren't just saying, well, you know, not the techs, they exist. You know, you believe in us. This is a partnership that makes things better for our clients.
Well, and then another thing, and this may be history you don't know, because I've known Naso probably longer than you have. For those that don't know, Naso is the CEO and I think founder of OntoText. When he first created the company, it was a text analytics consulting firm. And all of a sudden, he looked around and said, well, wait, I'm identifying all these entities and documents. I don't have a place to store or work with it. How do I solve this? And this led him through his own journey to knowledge graphs. So I will tell you, he and I in the early days were on many a call where we were doing some text analytics and he had ideas.
Besides the fact that he basically created this thing, and then he created the company and he continues to grow the company, and I have conversations with him some days. I'm like, I've got a lot to learn.
Oh, yeah. It's fun to work with him. Great. You know, last question. I think both of us are incredibly excited about this idea of a semantic layer that can finally unite information to really unlock the knowledge of an organization. What's next? What are you all doing next? What do you see next in the industry? What should our listeners keep an eye out for as the next cool thing they can tell their executives about?
I was asked a similar question at a trade show back in London. Off the top response was graph technology is going to rule. But I'm going to reinforce that because if you look at some of the Gartner reports that have come in and, you know, when they look at generative AI and AI technologies, knowledge graph on their impact radar has gone from a 1 to 3 year timeline to now. Because of the importance of Gen AI, it's gotten more awareness. I think you're going to see a more clear understanding. Again, not so much of knowledge graphs, but again, talk about, you said, the semantics and semantic layer, Joe, that we've done data management things for so long. We've talked about shared data, master data, metadata. It's all great, but you have to have that shared understanding what the heck all this means. And I'm starting to see semantics coming up more and more in conversations and threads in like the importance of semantics. And I've talked about that recently too. I think we're going to have more people starting to get it at the high level, at the business level, as we explain up the ladder more, and more of the technology level, seeing how they can use that not to solve, you know, a problem, but to become part of the overall practice of an organization, as opposed to solving for an individual project. Nothing wrong with solving an individual project, but let's face it, if you're an enterprise, you don't want to have a pocket of solved problems. You want to have a base of a foundation that you can solve the rest of them on. That's that true enterprise piece. It's almost like enterprise knowledge.
Thank you. But it's about a layer that solves many problems across the enterprise. And that's the vision in the future. I think that future is really close. I think companies are getting it. I think organizations, I know we're getting calls. I'm sure you are. Help us solve this thing. And we're starting to get names for it. We know that's one of the first steps. You have a name for a problem, then you start to say you understand it. So
that does help. That does help.
Yeah. You know, Doug, this has been a lot of fun. So
right, thank you.
For our audience, thank you for listening to this episode of KnowledgeCast. Doug, thank you for joining us. And if you want more information on knowledge management systems, these topics we talked about, please visit our website at enterprise-knowledge.com or head over to the OntoTex website. They have a wonderful set of content and blog posts on these various subjects. They are equally as prolific as we are in writing about what's a passion for both of us. So thank you, everyone.